Yeah. One who considers his visible body Which is the product
of
the prima of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence. And therefore, he is a rascal. Those who are learned have rejected his conclusion. Because one can understand through full discussion that with no basis in the soul, the visible body and senses would be insubstantial. Nonetheless, although its conclusion has been rejected, a foolish person considers it a reality. Without the basic principle of soul, the body cannot be produced. So-called scientists have tried in many ways to produce a living body in their chemical laboratories. But no one has been able to do it, because unless the spirit soul is present, the body cannot be prepared for material elements. Since scientists are now enamored of theories about the chemical composition of the body, we have challenged many scientists to make even a small egg. The chemicals in eggs can be found very easily. There is a white substance and a yellow substance covered by the shell, and modern scientists should very easily be able to duplicate all of them. But even if they were to prepare such an egg and put it in an incubator, this man-made chemical egg would not produce a chicken. The soul must be added, because there is no question of a chemical combination of life. Those who think that life can exist without the soul, and therefore been described here as a Buddha, who is restless. Again, there are those who reject the body, regarding it as insubstantial. They are the same category of fools. One can neither reject the body nor accept it as substantial. The substance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and both the body and the soul are energies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as described by the Lord Himself in Bhagavad Gita 7, 4, and 5. Umir apo nalo vayu, ammano kudir kecha, amkara vikiyame ina apatike ashada, apadeya vikastham yam, pakitim dirine varam, kukutam abapo, yayedam kariyate kuda. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego. Altogether, these eight comprise my separated material energy. Besides this interior nature called Nadiyaram Arjuna, there is a superior energy of mind, which consists of all living entities who are struggling with material nature and are sustaining the universe. The body, therefore, has a relationship with the personality of Godhead, just as the soul does. Since both of them are energies of the Lord, neither of them is false, because they come from reality. One who does not know this secret of life is described as a Buddha, according to the Vedic injunction. Aitadatmyam idam sarvam sarvam kala idam brahman. Everything is the Supreme Brahman. Therefore, both the body and the soul are Brahman, since matter and spirit emanate from Brahman. Not knowing the conclusions of the Vedas, some people accept the material nature as substance, and others accept the spirit soul as substance, but actually Brahman is the substance. Brahman is the cause of all causes. The ingredients and the immediate cause of this manifested material world are Brahman, and we cannot make the ingredients of this world independent of Brahman. Furthermore, since the ingredients and the immediate cause of this material manifestation are Brahman, both of them are true, satya. There is no validity to the expression Brahma Satyam Jagan Mithya, the world is not false. Jnanis reject this world, and foolish persons accept this world as reality, and in this way they are both misguided. Although the body is not as important as the soul, we cannot say that it is false. Yet the body is temporary, and only foolish materialist persons who do not have full knowledge of the soul regard the temporary body as reality and engage in decorating this body. Both of these pitfalls, rejection of the body as false and acceptance of the body as all in all, can be avoided when one is fully situated in Krishna consciousness. If we regard this world as false, we fall into the category of asura. We say that this world is unreal, with no foundation and no God in control. Satyam apratishtam tejita avara anishtaram, as described in the 16th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is the conclusion of Yuma. Prabhupada's emphasizing two different views here. Brahma Satyam Jaya Mithya. People who think that the body is the be all and end all of everything, and those who reject the body and everything material as being illusory. Sometimes we've heard that certain concepts that the world is false are not only atheistic, but worse than atheistic. There's a sense that if the whole world is rejected, that as false, then there can be no further development in Krishna consciousness. One who is realized, of course, knows that there are forces beyond our control. Every time we
students were studying philosophy. The teacher told me that they studied it for 3 weeks.
Newspapers, there was a half-page photograph of a man water skiing. But he wasn't water skiing on his feet, he was water skiing barefoot. And according to what it said in this photograph, he was 90 years old. And he wasn't holding the reins of the ropes that hold you when you water ski with his hands. He was holding with his teeth. And he was skiing barefoot, not on both feet, but on one foot. So it was advertising for an insurance company. And the idea, the thing it said underneath, was something to the effect that we live and enjoy much longer than we used to. The idea was that you can live a long time, you can enjoy life, you can be vigorous even in your old age. And therefore, you should get lots of insurance because you don't have to worry about death coming to you prematurely. If it does, we can't help it. But you're going to live a long time, you're going to be happy, and you're going to be able to take risks and do things that were formerly impossible because science and medical science has advanced so much that people live longer, they're stronger, and that's just the way it is. So you can be confident. This is real life. We are advancing. This is a kind of advanced concept of the body being the all-in-all, being the all-in-all. And the opposite of this is what Prabhupada was saying, that people will become very disgusted. They think that we're living in a corporate dictatorship, like health that's ruled by people like these big insurance companies and magazines and newspapers. We all have to go to work 9 to 5. We're at the mercy of big companies all over the world. We have to do what they say. We have to work very hard. We have to spend a third of our life in an air-conditioned office. And we have to be sitting down, hardly talking to anyone, just doing whatever we have to do just to survive. So there are many people who think that we should just reject that, that's not real. That's a very popular philosophy, that I'm doing all this, but it's not real. Actually, we learned, I did anyway, in science class, that everything is made up of molecules and atoms. And in these atoms, there's a nucleus made up of protons and neutrons. Then there are charged particles called electrons that swirl around these nuclei at a great distance. It's such a great distance compared to the size of the nuclei that it's like the distance, it's compared to the distance of, say, the Earth or one of the distant planets like Pluto going around the Sun. So if that's true, and that's what we have to learn in science practice, then everything would be mostly space. And it would be impossible to touch anything solid or to be hit on the head because it would just be space. So if we take that teaching to its logical conclusion, there's nothing substantial. For whatever reason, a lot of people embrace this idea, these scientists or some so-called religious philosophies, that everything is false and it's not real. And sometimes they even go to retreats. I've read about retreats that people go to, and they're not allowed to look at anyone when they eat. They're not allowed to talk to anybody for days while they're on these retreats. And this is considered to be an important philosophy. It's a little alternative, but it's not really Christian, but there's a lot of people who embrace it. Kind of Buddhistic, we might say. In this framework, Prabhupada uses the word rascal. In the verse, he translates a word as rascal, meaning that it's people that don't understand the nature of existence. It's not really a condemnatory word. Not exactly. But it's people who think that the body and the soul are different, or that there is really no soul. The body is all knowledge. He said to be independent of the soul is fun. One who considers his physical body, which is a product of the three modes of nature, to be independent of the soul, is unaware of the basis of existence, and therefore he is irrational. So sometimes this is used interchangeably with demon, and be a human or a rascal, and so forth, about the 16th chapter, that the world is unreal, no foundation, no God. That's another way of being demonic, or And then Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita, and says that, that actually everything is God. Even the material elements, they're the external energy. Manohara, describes the external energy, one hovering on the material mental platform. That's also a form of reality. It's not unreal. It exists. When we get shot with a bullet or fall into the water, we feel different. It's real. It's not real. This is the principle of Bhumirapam, all these material elements, they're part and parcel of God. And then in the next verse, Aparaya, that there is a soul, a superior energy, a part of Prakriti. And this is the basis of everything. What is devotional service? Devotional service is understanding that we are made up of this superior energy, part of Prakriti, that we're not the body, the thing that we hear over and over again, not the body. But no matter how many times we hear it, we tend to forget it. And we're attached to being tolerable, comfortable, or uncomfortable, or looking a certain way. All this is related to the body, bodily context of life. Devotional service then is to engage that which is ordinarily very debilitating and entangling for us in a way that is special. This, as in prasadam distribution is a way to captivate people's most essential traffic, deceitfully alluring aspect of life, and it's the tongue. The tongue is what keeps us in this material world as the repository, so to speak, of all the senses. If we are able to say what we want to say, and evil we want to, we feel very good. We're not being inhibited in any way. People can't control what we want to say. People can't control what we want to eat. We have freedom. The freedom to say what we want to say, we can eat what we want to eat. The principle of Vairagya is also engaging the tongue, but in a way that is spiritualized. When the senses are spiritualized, then one enters into devotional service. And it begins with the tongue, as Bhakti Mahārāja said. So Prabhupada very strongly recommends that prasadam distribution was one of the most important ways that people could break this addiction to saying what they want to say, eating what they want to eat, hating what they want to hate, and bring them to a level of Krishna consciousness, of purification of the tongue. And he once said that Krishna consciousness actually begins with the tongue. Begins what we say and what we do. That's how we're controlled. So this is the principle, it's Vairagya, which material things that are sometimes rejected and sometimes thought to be the be-all and end-all are used in the service of Krishna. One doesn't have to go to the nectar of instruction.
Once said that Krishna consciousness actually begins with the tongue, begins what we say
this is the principle of Vairagya, which material things that are sometimes rejected and sometimes thought to be the be-all and end-all of things are used in the service of Krishna. One doesn't have to go to the nectar of instruction or teaching as long as the mind is principle. It's actually in the Bhagavad Gita, in the third chapter, in the ninth chapter, Yatkarushi Hashanasi, Yatkarushi Hashanasiya. In the third chapter, where it is said that one can, the various senses which one engages to keep one in material life are the very things which can liberate us. Yogyartha Kamananja. The very things which entangle us, which keep us trapped in the material world, are the very same things which can liberate us from the material world. That's right in the Bhagavad Gita. That's right in Krishna's instruction. Arjuna was fighting, he was engaged in a very unpleasant, you might say, very distasteful activity. And he was advised, you can do this. You can do it for me. You can do it for Krishna. And you can be successful. And that, in many ways, is the difference of the principle of the Vairagya. So literally, no matter how bad it might be, material, no matter how distasteful it might be, if it's used in the service of Krishna, fundamentally it's better. But generally, whatever we are inclined to do, whatever we are good at, if it's used for the service of Krishna, then it becomes devotional, and then it becomes devotional service. At that point, it becomes transcendental, and at that point, it ceases to be material. It may look material. Instruction work, printing of books, singing, dancing, it may all look very material. Cooking, working on a car, it may look very ready money, ordinary, but it's transcendental. That's the principle of the piece of writing. I think we only have about 5 minutes when I ask the questions. I'm sure something is percolating in somebody's mind somewhere.
So you agree? And he said, well, I'm listening, but
I think we should have, the man said, I think that we should prove this. Human isn't enough, and I think the one proof is by having a man-making contest. We're going to prove that we can make a man. And I'm going to prove it. And God said, okay, that's great. So the scientist can do that and grab the hands of a dirt and prepare to show that he can make a man. And God said to him, no, wait a minute. Get your own dirt. Anyway, the idea is that everything belongs to God. We want Krishna. And if we have that attitude, that nothing is mine, I'm a butt belongs to God, I'm a Christian, then it becomes devotional. It's not just ordinary. So it's the attitude that everything belongs to God. What about one?
Well,
it's
just that
there are
six words that
are
in the
Bible. Well, Prabhupada's on record, at least from what Mahaprabhu said, saying that it was worse than atheism. I mean, there's many different strains of Buddhism, and of course it's probably not fair to say that all Buddhists are worse than atheists. I wouldn't want to say such a thing, or on record of saying such a thing, because I don't think it's true. There are Buddhists which become devotees. Probably there are some Buddhists who are devotees, who believe in God. But the philosophy, as I understand it, is that it's kind of from such a general meaning, it's kind of that the world is real and the world is false. The way is real, the reality. I was going to mention this thing about cloning. I don't want to leave this topic, but that's kind of an interesting thing because now people kind of think that science is going to create a human being because they're on the brink of creating little insects and smaller creatures. So how does that tally with the idea that you can't create life, a human being can't create life without, because the soul is the real feature of life. And there was the issue of heart transplant. The idea is that the essential feature of this is that even if somehow a living entity is cloned, produced from another, it still has its own soul. It's not done in the soul. Soul has to enter that body in order for it to become living. And so if it is ever done, it's going to be because the soul is essential. It's not because human beings create something that just exists on its own. More or less. One way to look at it. Because it's probably going to, something like that is going to happen in our lives. Do you want to pursue that thing about
Buddha?
Yeah, so if we read this from the Bhagavatam, that Lord Buddha is an incarnation that came with a specific purpose because people were using the Vedas for eating meat and slaughtering animals unnecessarily. The principal purpose of Lord Buddha's appearance or the incarnation of Krishna was to establish the principle of the Hindu so that there would not be any unnecessary killing of animals. If there is killing of animals, it's done for purposes of purification. There's a great restriction upon it, and you have to whisper in the ear of the animal, you have the right to come back and kill me in the next birth. So that was the purpose of the next steps in the Bhagavad. Yes? character. There are many Vaishnavas and Bhaktas who don't necessarily know their Bhaktas. They might be Krishna Vimokam or Buddhist Vidalis or whatever, but not even curious. But Prabhupada once said, I heard it. The devotees are standing in every street corner. You just have to find what they like. Bhagavad Gita, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.